This is week three in the shipwrecked theme, keeping your life on course. Our children's ministry just did this, and I wanted to leave these decorations up in here for the duration of this, even though all the rest of the building had been decorated, and another church came and borrowed those decorations, and then they're going to pass it along to another church. But we decided to keep this one for the duration of this theme. And I just want to say thank you again to the team who helped to put all this together, because they did a fantastic job. But some people's lives are a shipwreck. That's the best way to describe it. Their lives just have drifted off course. They have collided with others in their life, and now they have broken relationships, or they've lost purpose and focus, and they have not weathered the storms well. I wanted to bring this series of messages because I want your life to truly be saved from shipwreck. And here's our main scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, having faith and a good conscience. I always have a problem with that word, conscience. Conscience. I'm going to practice right now. Conscience. There, everybody say conscience. Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. So I'm sharing principles to keep your life from shipwreck. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the captain. Who's the captain of the ship? Jesus is the captain of the ship. He is Lord and Savior. If you're trying to captain your own ship, your own vessel, if you're trying to captain your own life, you're leading towards a shipwreck. Jesus is the Lord, and we need to submit to the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Last week, I spoke on the chart. The Holy Bible is our chart. It's the chart that we use to navigate through life. When we listen to the Word of God, there's peace, there's prosperity, and there's power in listening to and living according to God's Word. Today I want to talk about that power just a little bit more. I want to talk about the power that comes from following God that keeps our lives from being shipwrecked. Every ship needs power. It needs power to propel it in the direction that the captain wants it to go. This has been true throughout all nautical history. There has to be some power, whether it's somebody actually with an oar, with a paddle rowing the boat, or wind in the sails that is projecting it forward in the desired direction, or even up into modern day where we have motors. And in doing so, we have several kinds of motors as well. There's actually jet skis that uses jet motors that pushes the water through and pushes you. I don't want to go into all the terms. I actually studied this week, and Newton is involved with this. But some of you thought Fig Newton? No, Sir Isaac Newton. But anyway. But most of the time, when we think about a ship or a boat being powered, we think about what we saw in that scene where the propellers came crashing down. We see these motors with these propellers that propel the ship. Every ship needs power. Without power, there's still direction, there's still motion, but it's not going in the direction that you want to go in life. There's still going to be motion, but it's not going to be going where you want to end up, the destination that you want to end up in your life. And so I was thinking about this week, and I remembered I shared this. I didn't actually share the story, but I just mentioned that several years ago I was out on a lake, and what had happened was. This was several years ago. I was still in college, so that's a long time ago. This is just a few years ago. We at our church had Wednesday night service, which we're actually talking about starting some more Wednesday night activities, midweek service type activities in the fall. And in fact, we're meeting with our key leadership team to kind of discuss some of that tomorrow night. But back then, that was kind of the norm, and we had a Wednesday night service, and the young adults were meeting, and some of my friends, they they had gotten together, and one of them said, "A friend of mine loaned me his boat for the week, and after church, we're going to take it out on the lake." Now, where we lived at the time was in Rockwall, and if you're familiar with that east of Dallas area, there's a big lake. It's Lake Ray Hubbard. How many of you ever gone east on I-30 and crossed Lake Ray Hubbard? I mean, it's that's a big lake. I mean, it almost looks like a bay, really. And so I was game. I mean, I was young, I was single, and there was girls coming. And anyway, so we just decided, yeah, we're going to go out on the lake. And so we went out on the lake after church that night. And we were having fun. We went out to Chandler's Landing. It was a place where we could get, the boat was already there in the water. It was docked. And so we just got on the boat and took off. And we went out into the lake. We looked at the lights and we looked at the stars, and it was peaceful and it was a cool evening, and it was nice until the motor stopped abruptly. I mean, we're going pretty good clip, and then all of a sudden, and I looked at Darren, the guy who was, the friend had loaned him this boat. I said, "What's the deal?" And he goes, "I don't know." Looked at my friend David. "David, do you know anything? Do you know what's going on?" "I don't know." We turned to the ladies. No clue. We started trying to crank that engine, and it would not turn on. And we were out in the middle of this big lake alone, late at night, adrift. And we drifted for a long time. For about 2 hours, we drifted, and we saw a couple of boats, their lights in the distance, I guess late night fishermen or maybe people out doing like us, just having fun. But we started blinking our light, the Morse code for SOS. And I didn't know what it was at that time, but one of my buddies, David, he knew what it was, so he started blinking SOS. Nobody come. We were yelling in the direction of the nearest boat to us, which was, it seemed like, miles away. We were hoping that the voice would carry across the water, but to no avail. Nobody came to our rescue, and we just drifted. Now, can I just tell you, we had no power in that engine, but we were still moving. There was still a current, and we were just drifting along with the current. And after about the third hour, we had drifted pretty close to the I-30 bridge. And in fact, there were some rock pylons that were holding up the suspension of that bridge. And Darren said, I hate to tell you guys this, but I'm going to have to throw the anchor out because we're going to drift into those rocks and we could damage the boat. And we thought, yeah, you're probably right. And then he said, and somebody is going to have to jump in, swim to those rocks, climb up on I-30, and walk and get help. And now, first of all, it's late at night. Second of all, there's these big jagged rocks. And I failed to mention, but just, this is a sad story, actually. Just a few months before, somebody in that church that I had been attending had tried to cross I-30 and had been hit by a truck and died. And now here we were going to climb up on I-30. But me and David, who was my good friend, he actually pastors a church in the Phoenix area now, but he and I, young and single, wanting to impress the women, said, "We'll do it." And so we jumped in, and we climbed up the rocks, and we shimmied up and got on the I-30. We walked about a mile to the nearest established. It was a restaurant that was closed, but the cleaning crew was still there, and they let us in. This was back before the days of cell phone, okay? You think, why? Some of you are sitting there thinking, why didn't you just call somebody? No cell phones back then, you know. We walked all the way down to Culpeper Steakhouse that happened to still have some people there cleaning, and they let us use a pay phone. Y'all remember those? Okay. Put a quarter in. And at two, about that time, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We called a friend who we knew who had a boat, and he was gracious enough to come out and rescue the rest of the team there. But the point is many people are going through life powerless, and they're just drifting. And if you don't realize it, doing that is potentially drifting towards danger, towards something that could actually shipwreck your life. And thankfully, nobody was hurt. And we look back on that now and we laugh. We were like stupid kids out there. But honestly, it could have been a precarious situation. It could have been dangerous. In fact, many people, though, they're just drifting through life because they're lacking the power that they need to go in the direction that the captain wants them to go in. So today I want to talk about this power. What is our power? Our power is, number one, this is my point, our power is the Word and the Spirit. And now you may argue, but Pastor, last week you told us that the Bible was our power. Really what I said was that the Bible is powerful and it works when we learn it, when we meditate on it, when we determine to live according to God's Word. There is power in that. There is power to overcome the enemy in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 6, by the way, if you want to, you can turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to be just quoting from Ephesians 6. But if you want to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1, you can. But in Ephesians chapter 6, we learn about the whole armor of God, and we are told to put it on. And I'll talk more about that next week, but in verse 17 of Ephesians 6, it says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." It says, take the sword of the Spirit. Would you mind saying Spirit? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which is the Holy Bible. Now, that's where our power actually comes from. So I wanted to show that scene in the Titanic where it was shipwrecked, but what happened was the engines had stopped running, and those two dual engines, those two propellers came crashing down. We're talking here about the Spirit and the Word. We're talking about dual action. We're talking about twin engines. And here's the thing about twin engines. They have to be in alignment. They have to be going in the same direction. If one engine tries to go in one direction and another engine tries to go, it's going to split the ship in two. Those engines have to be in alignment. And my point here today is that our power that we need to go in the direction that our captain wants us to go, listen to me today, has to be in alignment. The Holy Spirit speaking into our lives and directing our lives, and the Word of God speaking and directing our lives, they are in alignment. They will never disagree. I want you to understand this today. Because it never ceases to amaze me when somebody will come in and they'll say, "Hey, the Holy Spirit has said something to me," and I know that it violates, it directly contradicts the Word of God in Scripture, and I can look at them and say, "No, there may be a spirit speaking to you, but it's not the Holy Spirit." Because the Holy Spirit's Word is always going to align with the Word of God, with the Bible. Somebody come in and say, I know the Holy Spirit has spoken to me to divorce my wife and marry my mistress. No. That is not the Holy Spirit, because the Bible encourages us, if not actually commands us, to be faithful to our wife. To not have a mistress. That God hates divorce because it brings violence on the family. That's what the book of Malachi says. He doesn't hate divorced people. Please hear me today. He does not hate divorced people. He hates what divorce does to families. And so when people come in and say, well, I really believe God told me, I really believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and yet it directly violates the Word of God, then those twin engines are not in alignment. And it's going to split your life in two, and you're headed towards shipwreck. We need both of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need the power that is in the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, that's where our power really comes from. The power that we need that directs us in the direction that we want to go. The second point I want to make about this today is the Holy Spirit, I've already said this, will align with the Bible. But I have a sword up here, and we were celebrating the life of Jack King, one of our elders, this week at his memorial service. And many of you know that Jack had a ministry, Faithful Men's Ministry, and he would, among other things, he would take men through this curriculum, and at the end of it, he would commission them and give them a sword. And there was so many men there at his memorial service last week, and they were actually brought their swords, and they were lining the aisle for the family as the family walked through in honor of Jack, but really in honor of the Spirit of God that was in Jack that had directed him to minister to them and to train them and to disciple them. But I got this sword, and I started thinking about this. If y'all want me, my daughter saw this and she said, "Is there really a sword in there?" I said, "Yes." This sword doesn't do any good if it just sits on a coffee table or hangs on a wall or collects dust in a closet somewhere. If an enemy came in, some of you in here today, because we're from Texas, some of you, if an enemy came into your house, you wouldn't even grab the sword, you'd grab the gun, I know. But but if an enemy came into my house and all I had was this sword and I grabbed this sword, can I just be honest with you? I don't know that I would be much of a threat. Because even though I have a sword, I don't know how to use it. I don't know how to use it that well. And in fact, when I was in college, I took some theater classes in college, and we took, okay, now I'm going to be real careful how I say this, theater fencing, not real fencing, make-believe fencing, okay? I learned five moves, well, defensively, I guess you could say 10 moves, okay? And so it's really important, I don't know why, but it's really important to decide how you're going to hold your other hand, okay? I don't know. For some people, it's right here. For others, it's up like this. I don't like this one. This looks too effeminate. This is better, okay. Y'all want to see the theater moves? Okay. So, you're supposed to stand like that. Isn't this sexy? And so there's the leg, or the leg here, and you got to take a step every time because that's the offensive move, okay? And then there's the arms up higher, and then there's a kill shot, the head, all right? Now, I guess I could argue there was a sixth move. You can do the thrust, all right? But you reverse that for the defense, all right? You block, and you back up. You block, and you back up. You block, and you block, and you block. I don't remember what you do if they thrust. Okay? That's theater, okay? So we actually had to team up, and we had to create our own situation where we might be in a sword fight. And I got teamed with the smallest girl in our class. And I thought, oh, I don't want to beat up this girl with a sword. even though it was a fake theater sword. And so I came up with the idea. I said, what if I'm trying to teach you how to play golf and we're husband and wife and you're frustrating me and I'm frustrating you and you finally start getting mad at me and you come after me with a golf club and I have to defend myself. And that's how we did it. Okay, I don't know why I shared that. But anyway, the point I'm making is this does no good. This does no good if you don't know it, if you don't know how to use it. And what we're talking about is a spiritual battle, a enemy that is coming against us, that has waged war against us, that is attacking us, attacking our families, attacking our lives, trying to shipwreck our lives. And it does no good if we don't understand how to use this, how to use the power that we have been given. It's important to have the Word of God down deep in our hearts. It's important to read it. It's important to study it. It's important to meditate on it, especially those areas in our life that we feel challenged or that we need to grow more in. It's important that we go and read it. And I said this last week, we don't have any excuse because we live in an age of revelation to where, y'all are going to get nervous if I carry this around the whole time, but we live in an age where you have it readily, the Word of God. You can listen to some of the best preaching in the world with a push of a button on your smartphone. You can go and you can download an app that has just about every translation of the Bible. You can hear the Word of God actually spoken in spoken word. Listen, there's no excuse for not getting it into your heart. You can Google anything. It's easy. You want information. You need a scripture. You don't even need to have some hundreds of dollars worth of Bible apps. You can just Google it and find the scriptures that you're looking for. It's that easy. It's really that easy. I go to the one of the ones I use the most. It's free. It's called BibleStudyTools.com. But I say it's easy. You need to get the Word of God down deep in your heart and your spirit and know what it says. But here's the reason we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, He will remind you of all the words that I have spoken to you. And so in those moments where you're drifting maybe through life and you're not going in the direction that you need to go or want to go or where you know your captain is calling you to go, the Holy Spirit's power in your life being poured out in your life is what brings back to our remembrance the things that God's Word says. So the Bible, God's Word, our power is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will always, always, always be in alignment. Now, I want to move forward here. Acts chapter 1, I ask you to hold your place there. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 talks about how the Holy Spirit empowers us, like Jesus taught us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." How does the Holy Spirit empower us? A better question to ask is, has the Holy Spirit really come upon you? Has the Holy Spirit empowered your life? Have you had an encounter with God, with His Spirit, that has begun to change you from within? Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The real reason, I want to explain something today. The real reason for the power of the Holy Spirit is so that we can be a witness. So that we can be a witness. And what does a witness do? A witness testifies. And so my third point I want you to understand today is that the real reason for the power of the Holy Spirit is to reach others for Jesus Christ. The real reason The real reason, and please don't get me wrong. I believe that it is a blessing when the Holy Spirit empowers us. I believe it is a blessing when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, I believe that that person truly is blessed. But hear me today. I don't believe that the primary purpose is just so that we can have some spiritual encounter, some spiritual high, so that we can get drunk in the Spirit and giggle. I don't think that that is the primary purpose. The primary purpose, Jesus said, is to be a witness, to testify, to reach other people for Jesus Christ. That is the primary purpose of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Our lives are not our own. Our captain has saved us. Remember this from the week one. Our captain, we were adrift. We weren't even adrift like in a boat like I was. We were lost at sea. We were floating without a life jacket. We were lost without Jesus. And our captain saved us. But we're not aboard a cruise ship. We are now enlisted in his Navy. And we have a mission to save others, to save lives, to do what our captain has commanded us to do, has commissioned us to do, to go and make disciples and to reach other people for Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit directs us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit is the one who changes us from the inside and makes our life a living testimony. Can I just tell you something today? If you're a Christian in here, please hear me today. I really try to pay attention because I don't want to be misquoted here. Please understand, if you are a believer in here today, if you're a Christian in here today, and yet your life has never really experienced change, you're missing something. You're missing something. Are you saying, Pastor, that I got to change before I can become a Christian? No. Becoming a Christian and being empowered with the Holy Spirit is supposed to change us from the inside out. And that change becomes a testimony, and our lives become a witness. People start seeing something different in us. They see the power of God at work, changing us from the inside out. And our lives really become that testimony, that witness to the changing effects and the power of the Holy Spirit. I could go into story after story, but I know in my own life, when I really encountered Jesus, and I had many, I would say, encounters with God up until this moment. But when the Holy Spirit came, He made God real in my life. It moved from just a nice story, it moved from just a fairy tale that I hope might be true, but I'm not sure, to this is real. Jesus really did die for my sin. Jesus really did rise again. Jesus really is the captain. He really is Lord and Savior. And His Spirit made Him real to me in such an impactful way that it changed my life forever. Now, is that your story? Has your life really been changed? Because if it hasn't, perhaps you're missing something. And what you're missing is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need His power directing us and bringing us into alignment with God's Word and then propelling us forward, because our captain has saved us. We are now enlisted aboard His ship, and we each have a mission to rescue other lives. Our testimony of a changed life is what He wants to use to reach other people. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us and changes us. When I was on that boat, let me just say this. I wrote this down and I highlighted it so I wouldn't forget to say it. The Holy Spirit is not just changing you from within, revving His engine. He also is directing your life. He doesn't want to just rev you up, hype you up, and then you go out and continue to live the same way. He's not just revving His engine inside of you on church on Sunday morning. He wants you to go out there and He wants to direct you in everyday life to reach others for Him. When I was in that boat and the engine went out, we had motion, but we did not have direction. Does that make sense? We were going in a direction that we did not want to go. We were just drifting along. And I think too many Christians, unfortunately, are in the same boat. To continue the analogy, just drifting along. Not even aware that they have power and they have a mission and they have a direction that the Holy Spirit wants them to go in. They're just drifting along. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you today. If you're just drifting along in this life, you really are not being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you're charting your own course, can I just tell you that course leads to shipwreck? It leads to, you may say, you know, yeah, but the direction I'm going in, it's got promise. But some people, they get what they want and they don't want what they got. Some people actually achieve great things that they set out to do, and then they say, is this all there is? I thought it would fulfill me more. The reason is because the captain has a more fulfilling destination for your life. He created you for a reason. He created you for a purpose. He saved you and rescued you for a reason and for a purpose. And that's to make lives better, to show them the hope that is in Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit empowers you to do. And so, don't just drift along through life. Can I encourage you, wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, how do you want to direct my life today? Holy Spirit, I am submitted to you, and let Him empower your life and speak through you throughout your day. Make a difference in people's lives. I want to talk about that more at the end of this series, the destination. But we all have a God-given destiny. Let me tell you one more reason we need Acts 8:1 to happen in our lives. The reason we need the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to empower our lives to be a witness. I'm going to say it like this, and I want you to... I don't know that this wasn't divinely designed by God. I'm not into all the numberings in the Bible and stuff, but hear this today. If we don't let Acts 1:8 happen in our life, then Acts 8:1 is going to occur. In Acts 1:8, go back. In Acts 1:8 it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world." Now for them, Jerusalem was their home. Judea was the surrounding areas. Let's say Arlington, and then the Metroplex. But Samaria was different culture. It was still close by. But people that are different than you, people who have different beliefs than you, that's what Samaria represented. And then the uttermost parts of the world is other nations. People will say, why are we helping? Why is Andy going on this mission trip? Why are we sending aid and helping people in India, in Africa? Well, the reason is because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, Jesus Himself, said, do it. Yeah. But we have lost people right here. We have needs right here. Yes, and we're supposed to go to them too. Well, why doesn't our church do more outreach? Well, I don't know. Why aren't you? You're the church. Why are you waiting for me to devise some program when you're supposed to be going and doing it? You have an opportunity coming up, as a matter of fact. It's in your bulletin. We're doing an outreach. So there's your program. You're going to plug in? Are you going to do it? Are you going to show up? There's many ways you can do it. There's many ways you can get involved. It's a back to school backpack program or outreach that we're doing with SOS. We're partnering with SOS Local. But don't wait for a program. You're God's program. You're His outreach program. You're the one who He has called to do this. And He says, go into your home, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world. We're supposed to do it all. We're supposed to do it all. Why are we doing this, Pastor? Why are we sending money? Or why are we praying for? Or why are we helping? Or why are we rescuing? Why? We're doing it because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God has directed us to do it and has empowered us to do it. And by God, we're going to do everything that we can, both locally and abroad. And so, hear me today. If we don't do Acts 1:8, I believe we're at risk of seeing Acts 8:1 happen. What happened in Acts 8:1? Well, right before Acts 8:1, Stephen was martyred. He was killed for his faith. And then let's read Acts 8:1. Go ahead and put it up now. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the... That's not the right one. Acts 8:1. Acts 8:1. You know what? I've got it right here. I don't know why I'm waiting on the screen up there. Okay. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You see, they had gotten comfortable. They had gotten comfortable at home in Jerusalem. And they did not do Acts 1:8. They just said, us four and no more. They just kept it tight. They just kept it right there in Jerusalem. They just showed up and had fellowship in church and ate fried chicken, okay? They didn't go to Samaria. They didn't go to Judea. And so it says a great persecution rose up against the church. And they were scattered. You see, I don't believe that God causes bad things to happen, but I know that He uses them from time to time. One way or the other, though, His gospel message is going to get out. You can go voluntarily, or He'll force the issue. But one way or the other, we need, and can I tell you, if you find yourself in that point where the issue's being forced upon you, that's when a lot of people cry out, Holy Spirit, I need your power. I need your power in my life. I cannot do this. I cannot withstand this on my own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be that witness. So yes, we desperately need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So how do we get it? We're still going to stay here in Acts chapter 8. The apostles, they did not leave Jerusalem, but Philip went to Samaria. And he began to preach and teach under the power of the Holy Spirit. Many miracles, this is all in Acts chapter 8, you can go back and read. Many miracles and signs and wonders were done. And even the town, the local witch doctor, calls him a sorcerer. It was like the respected sorcerer, the respected witch doctor of that city, even became a believer in Jesus Christ. And then look in verse 14, Acts chapter 8, verse 14. It says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now get this, for as yet He had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they were Christians. They had received Jesus as Lord and Savior. They were even water baptized. But it says the Holy Spirit had not fallen upon, had not come upon them, had not empowered them yet. Now there's a common notion that is taught in many places that we receive the Holy Spirit when we become a believer. This is the most clear example. This is not the only example, but this is the most clear example in the Bible, in my opinion, of where that's just not true. That there's something else that happens. We can receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and I believe we're saved. We can be water baptized. But I believe that there is another blessing, another grace that comes, an experience with God. And by the way, I believe it's an experience that we can have over and over and over again. I believe that we can experience it daily. We need that daily empowering. It's just like pouring gas in the engine of that boat. By the way, that's what happened. It ran out of gas. And there was not a gas tank on the boat. How many of you know, if you don't regularly put gas in your car, sooner or later, it's going to die. If you don't put gas in, and so we regularly need this empowering, this infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life to empower us to direct our lives. And this is something that happens, and Scripture is so clear on it that I don't even understand how people can teach that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered with the Holy Spirit when we become a Christian or when we're baptized in water. Because over and over and over, but this is the most clear example. They were believers. They had even been water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit had not come upon them yet. Now look at what happens here. One more verse here. So the apostles came down in verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit empower our lives? I believe, just like these people in Samaria, when we submit to the captain, we say, Jesus, I believe you're the Lord. You're the Lord of my life. When we submit to the captain and we're willing to obey him, Jesus then told his disciples, go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And so they obeyed. They waited. And they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, within them, they had this power to then lay hands on others. And they received. Hear me today. We live in a culture, and I've talked about this a lot. We live in a culture that hates to wait. We live in a culture that just does not want to wait for anything. We microwave our food. We keep fast food chains doing booming businesses. If our internet's too slow, we change it. We live in such a culture that is just doesn't understand waiting. But that's what Jesus told his disciples to do. He said, go and wait. And let the Holy Spirit come upon you. Now, I talked about how in my life changed. It was like, I'm really going to date myself now here, but it was like the little television set that I grew up with that was black and white to now the big flat screen, full color TV. That's the change. I mean, my life just changed. I like my wife's story because my wife, she wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She wanted that empowering of the Holy Spirit to change her from within, to empower her, to have that overcoming testimony, to be a witness, and to direct her life. But somebody prayed for you, right? But nothing happened right then. And then you went into your bedroom, and you waited. And you just cried out to God and prayed. Until something happened. Am I telling the story right? What happened? The Holy Spirit filled your life. The Holy Spirit empowered your life. Because she decided, I'm not going to keep going through. I'm not going to keep drifting through life. I'm going to wait on the Holy Spirit. Someone laid hands on you and prayed for you. But then you went and you waited. You know, I want to tell you something here today, guys. Some of you in here, you're in here today and you say, I need whatever this is you're talking about, Pastor, I need it. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need that power to change from within. I need the Holy Spirit to make God real to me. I need the Holy Spirit to make my life a living testimony, a witness. Some of you in here say, I just need the Holy Spirit to daily empower me and to direct my life in the direction that God wants me to go. How many of you in here say, I need the Holy Spirit? Come on, raise your hand. Come on. Okay, now, I want to ask you this. Are you regularly waiting on Him? Are you doing the hard part? Are you doing the hard part? Because it's so easy to hear a message like this and then to say, well, that was nice. Let's go get some Mexican food, okay? Tex-Mex, anyone? It's so easy, though, for us to hear a message like this and then forget it. And then just drift through life, to just go out and drift through life. And some of you are so concerned, you're scared that the Holy Spirit is going to turn you into some weirdo. Listen, people who do weird things in the name of the Holy Spirit are weird anyway, okay? But hear me today. Most of you, if we're being honest, the concern is not so much that He's going to make us weird. The concern is that He's going to disrupt our life. I'll give you a great example that happened yesterday. I was home. Life has been crazy anyway. I don't have time to go into all of it. Many of you know some of the things that I've gone through in the last several months, and losing my dad and mother within just 2 months of each other. And I just, I had a wedding. I've had two other funerals since, you know, and just so much going on. Haven't had much time to just chill. Saturday morning, I just decided I'm going to chill out for a little while. Just going to sit here on my couch. I'm going to rest. And can I tell you, I was doing something really holy. I'm just going to admit it. I'm just going to come right out and admit it. I was playing a video game. Thank you. Okay. I was just chilling out playing a video game. Knock at the door. You ever just want to ignore? Whoever it is, it can't be good. But I get up and I go to the door, and there's two ladies there. And they're there to talk to me about a false religion. And I could very easily have said, I'm not interested, close the door. But I remembered this message. And so we had a brief conversation that followed with me praying over them in tongues. But but I spoke to it was a younger lady and an older lady, and I said to the older lady, I just said, I don't believe what you believe. In fact, I believe in something else to be true, and that you're deceived. I just told them plain out. I just told them straight out. I said, but I don't want you to just take my word for it or expect you to take my word for it, because I know you think you're right. I said, so I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak through me to you. And I spoke to the older lady, and I said, you're in pain right now. It's hard for you to walk these streets, and you think you have to do it to appease the God so that you can get in heaven. And I said, I'm not sure, but it's either your knee or your hip. And she just looked at me. She said, oh, you saw me walking up. You were looking through the window. I said, no, ma'am. And then I looked at the younger lady and I said, and you actually doubt what you're doing here, but you've had some tragedy in your life and you've kind of come back to this faith because it's comfortable, it's familiar to you, but you actually still doubt it. And she said, oh no, I don't. And I said, and now you're lying to me because you're afraid of what this lady's going to think of you. And she went, and I said, so I want to pray for both of you and I want to bless you and I want to tell you that Jesus Christ really is the Lord and Savior. And I said, if you want the real thing, I want to pray with you. But I said, but either way, I'm going to pray with you right now. And I just started praying for them and I prayed in tongues until they ran off screaming. But they didn't run off screaming. But can I, please hear me today. Please hear me. The only way I know those things is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just an example of how God can use you. And God doesn't want to make you weird and turn you into a weirdo. If you're going to be weird, you're going to be weird anyway. Okay? But He does want to alter your life. And sometimes it means inconveniencing your life. But you've got to be hungry for more. Taste and see that the Lord is good and get hungry for His power and His presence. Instead of trying to explain it, or maybe there's better teaching on this out there and maybe I need more. The thing that baffled me about these scriptures is that there wasn't an 8-week or 12-week course that Philip and the apostles took the Samaritans through. They just showed up and said, oh, y'all need the Holy Spirit. Boom. You know, listen, don't try to explain it away. Just ask yourself honestly, God, why am I not more hungry for you? I want all that you have to offer, even if what you're offering might make me have to wait or might disrupt my life a little bit. Maybe your life needs to be interrupted. Maybe you're just drifting through life and you're heading to a dangerous place. You might even be heading towards a shipwreck. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want everybody to stand up today. And I want to pray for those who maybe you've never had that initial encounter with the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about. Maybe the Holy Spirit has not really ever empowered your life. Maybe you've never asked for it. Maybe you've been afraid to. Maybe you've seen some things in the past or heard about some things and it just kind of made you a little shy about this. But you might be just like, in my case, something interesting happened in my life right when someone prayed for me. But in your life might be, your testimony might be one like my wife's where maybe something doesn't happen right away, but you have to go and you have to continue to seek God and pray and wait and worship Him until the Holy Spirit comes and empowers your life.